Blog Talk Radio.
Our roots began in Africa, where we enjoyed self-determination and freedom, which were rooted in our sovereignty. Peace, family. Welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday evening from 9 o'clock p.m. to 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Dare to Win is the place where we have sobering conversations about the economic plight of Black people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making history. We at Us Lifting Us have developed an exact methodology on how to build this global machinery and pass it forward to our children and future generations. To join tonight's conversation, please call 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your phone when you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you prefer to listen on your computer, go to www.usliftingus.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, click on the Dare to Win button, then click on Listen Live. You will be on the Blog Talk Radio site at that time. If you want to get reminders from Blog Talk Radio for upcoming Dare to Win programs, click on the Follow button. ULU members, we have our own social media community. Please join if you have not already done so. There is a Dare to Win group And we would like to have your feedback on past Dare to Win programs, as well as topic suggestions for future programs. ULU's 2023 annual members meeting and convention will be held from Friday the 10th of March to Sunday the 12th. The theme for this virtual event is Reconnect, Recommit, Renew. Registration information is coming soon. So go ahead and put the date on your calendar, March 10th to 12th, 2023. And remember, this event is for ULU members only. So if you haven't joined ULU yet, you might want to think about joining so you can attend the meeting and have a say in what goes on. I am Sister Q, and joining me for this evening's discussion is Brother Thurman, who, like me, is a member of ULU. Peace, Brother Thurman. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing well and so glad to be with you again, Sister Q, and you're doing such a wonderful job week after week, and glad to be with the family.
Thank you very much for that. We're glad to have you here, and we look forward to what you have to share with us this week. So what news do you want to share with the family tonight, and why do you suggest that we be busy serving ourselves and not others? Which I forgot to say, tonight's topic is what's in the news, family. Be busy serving ourselves, not others. How would you like to begin?
Yes, I'll start off with a few pieces of what's in the news. And this is something that I'm going to start with. It's essential that we really get it. It's like ancestor Sister Barbara Sizemore talked about, spent years, and she was an educator, very, very prolific educator. And she talked about there was just so many things for so many generations that we just didn't get it. That's because we've been fed the Europeanized thinking, and we've got to get that out. And so these are the words of Us Lifting Us, elder founder of Us Lifting Us, Baba Hakima. And it says, the greatest waste of time is to be busy doing the wrong thing. In the context of African liberation, if our will, activity, and resources are not directed at building and maintaining systems and institutions that seek to position us as sovereign, then by default, we serve another and not ourselves. This would surely be a tragic waste of time and other resources. And if we delve down into it, there's so many things that our people have been so misled, and they're actually doing the wrong thing and have boatloads of well-dressed lies and misinformation, and we've got to correct it. That's our responsibility. And the next thing I wanted to touch on in terms of in the news is if you're standing or if you're sitting, hold both of your hands up in the air, you know, like side to the left and the right side of your head height, and point your left hand straight up in the air, and then take your thumb and tuck it in the middle of your hand where you've just got four fingers pointing up. And then the other hand, ball it in a fist, and when you've got it balled in a fist, take the thumb and tuck it underneath the four fingers. And just hold that position. And this is a sign language that says, help me. And this was posted on the Us Lifting Us page a few days ago. It says something every child should be taught. Because if a child got kidnapped and they were being held hostage in a car and they couldn't get your attention by hollering, but they held their hand up with that sign that I just described, and you can look on the Us Lifting Us page to get greater clarity. It says, help me. And it's not limited to a child. It could be a sister, brother. It's saying, help me. So make sure that you go to the Us Lifting Us page. So it's a sign language that if everybody was taught that, that could help us in situations where somebody was in trouble, that we would be able to non-verbally be able to find out that there's a problem and do the appropriate thing to get them help and get them freed up. The next thing I want to talk about is in nature, which is something that's millions of years old, our natural position to have a bowel movement or to poop, as some people call, is squatting.
Mm-hmm.
Squatting is something that if you're not able to do it, you really need to be corrected, because a whole lot of things that squatting has many functions, but to eliminate waste is one of them. And the squatting position is more natural and can help avoid colon disease, constipation, hemorrhoids, pelvic floor issues, and similar ailments. And in some traditions, elimination of waste is integral to one's well-being, which it really is. And the squatting position is also something that they teach in yoga. But when it comes to our survival, and whenever we are out and we are not in this so-called civilization with these man-made toilet stools, if you had to go out in the woods, out in the bush, and to survive, then squatting would definitely be the position that you need to go in and be in to be effective and even more clean when it comes to passing waste or poop, as people
mm-hmm.
call it. And if you're not able to get in that position, that means that when nature says it's time and you can't get down there, and then there are some people that are not fit to be able to get down there, but some of them, if they could squat down because of lack of exercise, they couldn't get back up. And
right.
So it's something as part of our preparedness that if whenever we would have a need to be outside in the woods, in the bush, which it used to be just common amongst our people. And in terms of the original people, African people, it used to be real common, and still is in parts of Africa, where the children out playing in the bush, out in the field, and any time they had a need to urinate or to pass waste, they just stopped at went to a bush and did it right then. But one
mm-hmm.
of their values is they did not back up their waste, and especially their bowels, because the bowels can be trained to some degree that when you have a poor diet and just poor habits, that you can be out in the workplace included, and the body is giving you some mild indication that it's ready to pass waste, and you say, no, not now, just wait. Well, if you continue
mm-hmm.
to do that, the body gets trained, and it will just say, okay, I'll just let it back up. And then it
mm-hmm.
backs up, and then you're setting the stage for rot and deterioration of the fecal matter that leads to diseases that wouldn't exist if you were having a regular, you know, two, three times a day elimination of waste, not once a week, but two or three times a day. And
uh-huh.
people, they can, this article goes on to talk about how people can control their defecation to some extent by contracting and releasing the anal sphincter muscle. But that muscle doesn't, It needs the aid of the fact that when you're standing up, there's a bend in the body between the rectum and the anus that when you're standing, that actually minimizes the possibility of waste coming out, because your body was intent that when it gets in the posture of squatting, then it knows it's time to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that's also I think it's going to be on the Us Lifting Us page next week. And so we need to know about that squatting. And also, there's a book been around for a very long time called The Complete System of Healing, the Book of Internal Exercises. And it teaches you exercises where you practice daily to tighten and hold for a dozen or more seconds and release the anal muscle. But when you're doing that, you're actually training, you're strengthening. It's kind of like bodybuilding the rectal muscles, anus muscles. And what that does is the body is not intended, the rectum was never intended to do, it's a one-way muscle that is only intended to let waste out and never intended to let anything in. And
uh-huh.
when you practice that, it keeps that rectal muscle tight and closed, because the rectal muscle was never meant to have an opening in it where parasites and bugs can crawl in. But also when you have a weak rectal muscle that's from diet and lack of wellness and fitness, the rectum, the waste can leak out because it's not closed shut tightly. But by doing those exercises, you keep it closed. And so a lot of people that are wearing, adults that are wearing diapers for waste, they wouldn't need them. So I just gave you a tip right there of something that would help to avoid having the diet, wearing the diapers. And that's something worthy of having in the news. And also wanted to pass on that in Durham, North Carolina, there's what's called Bull City, and this is on, today is Thursday. This is on Monday's, this past Monday, us listening to our Facebook page. But it's called Bull City Griot, and it's Durham, North Carolina's first free black bookstore. The books are free. The knowledge is priceless. And a brother, Paul Scott, is one of the people that's involved in it. And Durham, North Carolina was a black Wall Street, and in the early decades of the 1900s, Durham acquired national reputation for entrepreneurship. Businesses owned by Africans lined Perry Street. Among them were North Carolina Mutual Insurance Company, which moved to Perry in 1906. And then there was the Farmers Bank and other businesses. And so Durham, North Carolina was a major black Wall Street. And at some point, I think it was also called Hayti.
Mm-hmm.
And,
oh, that's what Hayti was. Okay.
Yes, yes. Not Hayti, but Hayti. And another tip in terms of survival, it should, and we just need to know these things and know what kind of things that we could do to help us to survive in the house with no heat. And one of them is to, and this is also probably last Tuesday on the Us Lifting Us Facebook page where you can get them, read it again, but it's about getting a tent, a small tent, and place it on your bed and cover it with one or two blankets for insulation. And the article went on to talk about how it kept their family warm when the temperatures dropped to 40 degrees in the room, in the bedroom. But inside the tent, it was 80 degrees. Mm-hmm. And they used a $20 tent that they bought from Walmart that had been sitting in the garage. And so it's something that's worth having, for more than one reason, a tent, not just in the house, but out in the woods included. But a tent and sleeping bags can make a big difference in how well you can survive the cold, even outside, and something mm-hmm. that's very worthy for all of us to know, and it's not complicated.
Brother
and also
Sherman,
one...
Brother
yes.
Sherman, before you move
yes.
on from that, you said you put the tent on top of the bed and then
yeah,
cover,
you put it on the
tent,
bed.
Cover the tent with blankets.
Yeah, one or two blankets,
said?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, so it covered it with one or two blankets for insulation, and it kept the family warm when the temperatures dropped to 40 in the bedroom. But inside the tent, because they measured it, it was 80 degrees.
Uh-huh. Okay, cool. Thank you.
Survival information right there. Yep.
Uh-huh.
And people, be aware that music is a weapon. Your body is 80% water. Sound changes the structure of water. Water is affected by frequency. Sound can heal or destroy. Be mindful of what you listen to. And there's a lot of music that has been intentionally, you know, in the last few decades, intentionally changed the hertz or the frequency of the music because the ancient Africans had found a mathematical formula that determined the notes in music, A, B, C, D, and E, but their formula, mathematical formula, when you had the music instrument tuned to that note, it was harmonious and beneficial. But when it's off of that mathematical scale or that frequency, it can disrupt a person's mind, their thinking, their behavior. And
that's,
so I'm done right
something
there.
That has been... recently, I've been seeing a lot of information about how the music industry deliberately changed the modulation of
That's
music
right.
so that in addition to having lyrics that were not beneficial. The music itself was modulated to disturb the body. So,
yes, I agree. Yes,
that's why we, again, why we need to do, you know, have our own studies and science and understand all of these different things and
yes.
go for ourselves.
Yes. Yep. And you just said something real powerful, that we need to have our own facilities and do our own research for ourselves so that we will really know and not be misled and duped by the deceiver.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to go on to the topic tonight is what's in the news, family, and be busy serving ourselves and not others. A definition
mm-hmm.
of serving ourselves would be serving our interests, our needs, including economic power, and to not feed the interests and abundance of others. And that's what we are failing beautifully for them, for others, is that we are feeding our interests and abundance and directed it towards them, the ones that oftentimes despise us and do hateful things toward us in many ways that we don't even know. But yet they're just raking in millions and billions of dollars from us serving the interests and the abundance and the wealth of others and not ourselves. And we've got to correct that. And we've got to correct that in all areas, that we are serving ourselves, love included. And I just want to read a piece by one of our prolific writers and teachers, Brother Mwalimu Baruti. That's you can find him on Facebook, but he's also in Atlanta and has published in prolifically maybe a dozen or more books. And his message, this message says, marriage is work, hard work. Within this work, African complements experience a continuous flow of amazement. And tune into that word complements, meaning those that complement, a couple that complement each other. And one of his books is called Complementarity. You can look it up,
mm-hmm.
Complementarity by Mwalimu Baruti. If you just type in Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, and you'd be able to find out how you can order that book and many others that he's authored that's very beneficial to helping to get us back grounded and in touch with our culture, our science, and all of those things. And so within
mm-hmm.
this work, African complements experience a continuous flow of amazement that strengthens the growing love they feel for each other. They feel closer to their complement every time they witness her or him express their full potential in what they do. They never cease to be amazed at what the other is capable of when it is least expected. It is a continuously growing pride in your compliments, accomplishments, which show him or her to be better than you ever imagined. True love is the accumulation of years of this growing amazement. It only comes with time. True love comes into being when you have been with someone long enough to know that they would die for you and you for them without a second thought. And this is Brother Baruti's message to us.
Mm-hmm.
And want to go, yes, sister.
You know that I was thinking about that the earlier this week, the idea of complementarity, but I wasn't calling it that. I forgot what I was calling it, but I was thinking cooperation is what I was calling
yes.
it. Because in this society, we are encouraged to compete. And I think one of the reasons that relationships, not even just men and women relationships, any kind of relationship, cannot develop and strengthen is because we are taught to be competitive against one another. And a good
mm-hmm.
relationship requires that you're cooperative, or as he says, complementary, that you work together, not you know,
yes,
trying to see
yes.
what I have that is better than yours, or even some people will say, well, men are better than women. It's not, that's not our focus. That should not be our focus. Our focus is the woman is better at doing women things and the man is better at doing men things, and the two of them complement each other, and in cooperation they build whatever is necessary. So I'm glad
yes.
you brought that complementarity up. Thank you for sharing that.
Yes, and thank you for what you just brought into the conversation. And complementarity, when our people grasp hold of that and get complementarity, and you mentioned cooperation. The more that we cooperate in real things and harmonious essentials of life and living, the more that we would have joy and harmony and almost no conflicts. So it's just like the more that you get into what nature and the universe provides to heal and nourish us, then we can just have smooth sailing for years and years and years with no diabetes, high blood pressure, kidney dialysis, bifocals, and on and on and on. But when we don't know and we have not tapped into those things, we're having all kinds of chaos and conflicts that would just go right on away, and we would just have smooth, sunny, rainy, whatever days with without conflict and chaos to a great, great, great degree. And so so tune into that book, one of his many books, Complementarity. Couples would just be more and more and more as time goes on, just admiring, just loving each other more and more instead of conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing I wanted to touch on was the subject of evolving, which a definition of evolving is to move higher, to develop a greater and greater clarity about the complexities of life. And we who say we are on the journey of continuously evolving to unlimited clarity can't in any sensible ways stay on the fence of program loyalty to the European ways, including all European holidays. We can't stay on the fence about that, because there's the real side of life. There's the fence, and some people say on the opposite other side, there's a fence, you know, where you just stuck or whatever. But there's really only two sides. There's either you're on the side of freedom and liberation of your spirit, mind, and body, and of your people, or if you can say you're on the fence, you really are in that anti-us position. We can't afford that. But in spite of that, we've got the responsibility of teaching our people. But in spite of that, in spite of the European ways being a mental genocide, we who, without confusion, love African people, will continue to move higher, while extending an energetic hand. An energetic hand? No, I'm not talking about holding the people that's on the fence hand, because if you did, you couldn't move, you couldn't go higher. But you just extending that hand out to say, come on and catch up with us, and we'll hold hands together. So continue to move higher while extending an energetic hand of love to those who are caught up in the self-destructive madness. And many of our people, we know that because of various things, being duped because of miseducation, they are caught up in self-destructive madness, and it's our responsibility to correct that in every way, so that we, as I read early, evolving to unlimited clarity. One of the messages I'd like to read is about silence. Silence, and this is about clarity. Silence, and about evolving. Silence is another name for God. Quietness is a name for consciousness, peace. Everything is found in silence and not too much in the words. In quietness, you should try to be quiet for as long as you can, especially when you are at home. Try to sit in the silence and quietness for as long as you can. It's in the silence where you receive the message. It's in the silence where pure awareness reveals itself to you. Never be afraid to sit in the silence. It's your greatest asset. And I just add that the ancient Africans said, and they passed it on to us, that the higher side of sanity requires being quiet more. Another piece of that. Yes,
because we're taught not to have quiet, you know.
Yes, that's true.
And the radio on, have the TV on, and people.
That's right. And if it's
get up
us.
And turn those devices on and listen. I've heard people say, "I'm not really listening. I just have it on for company." But
yes.
I think that even though they are not actively listening, subconsciously they're being programmed to whatever the agenda is for the radio and TV.
Yeah, you said a powerful word there. They're being programmed. Yes, they are. And they're being watched. So years ago, 20 years ago, one of the big screen TV manufacturers was involved in a legal kind of thing. And in their hearing, they said, they admitted that, yes, our TV has a camera that's watching you in your bedroom or wherever, but it's only there for marketing purposes. This is what they said in court. Only there. Well, I'm amazed at the people that's difficult to tell them to turn their thing off. One, you should not have one in your bedroom anyway, because that electronics and it always on kind of thing disrupts your sleep and it messes with your melanin, which is an essential part of the well-being and greatness of our people. But it shouldn't be in there. It shouldn't be in your bedroom. Should be a place that you can have that silence and quiet and peace and harmony and whatever you may be engaging in, but not that TV. And if you had one in there, when you go to bed or get ready to undress to go to bed, put a blanket over it. At least it ain't watching.
Or disconnected.
Well, disconnected. You know, I get that. So we've got to evolve to that higher, greater and greater levels of clarity about life and get the foolishness out. And get clarity and stop practicing foolishness such as TVs that watch you.
Brother Sherman, we have someone on the line. So I'm going to take this call.
Yes.
If I can get it. Peace. Caller with the last four digits, 3440. Please state your name, where you're calling from. Make your comment or ask your question. Thank you.
Hey, greetings. This is Brother Shabaka. Can you hear me? First of all.
Yes, I can hear you well.
Good, good. Very good program. I wanted to share a couple things on what you said, Brother Thurman. It was reported in the news the harmful effect of what they call 5G networks. Now, this is the networks of, you know, you see all cell phone towers that are landscaping and seem to be captured by our cities, our roads and everything for the communication or wireless communication. They say the 5G is emitting what they call EMR, electromagnetic radiation, that even though this radiation does not do the same kind of things that we know X radiation does or beta radiation does in terms of disrupting cells and organs and stuff like this, they are finding out that it does have harmful effects to the interior of our body. So what you are relaying to us, sharing with us, is very reminiscent that, you know, even the Europeans are becoming aware of the harmful effects of this radiation that is being emitted, you know, all to carry out communication faster, speedier, and to carry out not only communication, but, of course, surveillance, as you said. That TV that you're watching is also watching you, all right? Alexa's that you might listen to that can call your name is also listening to you. So we got all of this stuff that's going on that we need to be mindful of. So the thing before us is, sure, I read it and heard it in a newscast, all right, but how much are we transmitting and how are we transmitting this information to the masses of people that are unaware of it? And talking about being unaware of it, let me add this and then we'll stop and listen to you for a moment on your response. But just recently, a couple of days ago, I believe, the D.C. City Council met. This is slightly on a different topic, but it's related, and I'll tell you how it's related, and I'll like for you and Sister Q and yourself to comment. The D.C. City Council met. They met primarily because there was an onslaught, all right, of residents who had gotten fired up, all right, about these mandates. This is the vaccine mandate given to their 12 to 17 or 18-year-old students are required to be taken if they wanted to return to school. In other words, if you didn't get the jab, you couldn't come to school. Now, I'm going to tell you the significance of that in a minute. Apparently, there was such an outcry. People were calling their council representative, so that what the council did was postpone, you know, because the incoming year that's coming in, the incoming year was supposed to be mandatory if you wanted to attend school, 12 years old or older. All right. If you weren't able to, you had to do that. Now, interestingly, they've been trying to push this mandate, you know, for a year now, or close to a year. And therefore, I think 45% of the student population have not been jabbed. Well, I mean, 55% have been. But it's interesting that 45% have not been jabbed in spite of the propaganda, in spite of the mandates, in spite of what they've been pushing. All right. Interestingly, a group, this is Robert Kennedy's group, white group. What's significant about this is that Kennedy's group is organizing cells, and the cells is to involve themselves politically, all right, in the activity that's going on in the location where these cells are formed. And right now they have a cell in Virginia, they have a cell in D.C., they also have a cell in Maryland, all right. And so these cells are able to come together and assist, all right, a legal strategy team from Kennedy's organization to begin to sue the district government on these mandates. They say they're unconstitutional. Now, I'm bringing all of this, sharing all this to say that some of the people from the rallies that's been organized were unaware of what their government is doing, all right, and became, you know, very grateful, you know, that information was shared with them by these cells now, all right. These cells are reminiscent of the kinds of conversations that we've had regarding UBCs, all right, Ulu-based communities, all right. Centered around which we are developing, okay? It so happens that the idea of cells is not new. It's just that how you see and what you organize them for. And apparently the group, white group, or multiracial group or whatever you want to call it, organize themselves to deal with the district government, which is predominant. The city council is majority black, the mayor is black, the city council president is not black, but only one person of that city council voted against the mandate in a city council that is majority black. Now, that tells you where our heads are, but it tells you that as a consequence of the organized effort dealing with this particular issue, all right, caused the city council, all right, to postpone the mandate, and eventually we'll have to take it off of the books, all right, if Robert Kennedy's organization is successful in their lawsuit. Now, I'm saying this, and I seem to be long. I'm saying this is that this is a white group. I did not see, although parents were receptive of the information that they received and grateful for learning of the negative impact of what this would do to 45%, most of whom are black, Africans, all right, in the D.C. public school system, all right, which is, all right, managed or administrated by black administrators. All right, I want you to keep that in mind now. The cell formation, which resulted in organization, which helped to direct the legal strategy, all right, which caused people in the D.C. public school city council to think again to postpone it. They haven't canceled it. They just postpone it because they want to come up with a strategy to pass it. And I think because they are probably receiving, I don't want to speculate, but my inner guts tell me the only why they would be pushing something that is inhumane on inoculating from an experimental drug something to our youth tells me that it's a consequence of being bribed or paid, all right, or blackmailed. That's another thing. So, brother and sister, I wanted to share that because that's recent. I thought it was a victory. I thought the victory was important because it showed as we talk about these things happening, brother, you talk about the need to know. Now we have to, how do we get the need to know to the people that needs that information? All right, it's the cells. It's the UBCs. It's to instruct them, although we're mostly focusing on economics. But as you know, as you develop your economics infrastructure and institutionalize a certain behavior and concepts, all right, it begins to affect all the other layers that you see in society. So let me stop here. I know I've talked a long time. I guess the program is almost over now. But thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Thank you for sharing that, Brother Shabaka.
Yes, thank you, brother. And we've got to take corrective action, and if that includes the cells and UBCs, that would be corrective action. We must take corrective action with everything and counter whatever they do when they make a move from the other side of the chessboard. We'll be on the black side of the chessboard. Whenever they make a move, we counter their move to keep them from checkmating us. And on the highest level, like I mentioned earlier about evolving towards mm-hmm. unlimited clarity, among the things that we would do with regard to our children is we would have our own schools and get that foolishness out. And as a group, we would have UBC's cells that we would have and along with the economics and everything else, that we would form groups, power groups all over the planet that would counter that. But we've got to have our own schools because we feel we can't afford to continue to keep our children in those schools when we've got the opportunity and the responsibility amongst ourselves. Because right now what we're dealing with is that every person has two educations. One is given to them and the other which they must give themselves. And we got to really, really get that. And we can't be sitting on the fence. And the people on the city council that he mentioned, if they're not serving us, they're sitting on the fence. So they got an anti-us position. But either we are about our freedom or it's anti-us. And it reaches something right here. I'm looking at a picture of some white gladiators kind of like in Rome, you know, out killing each other.
and the people in the stands just enjoying this bloodletting. And it says, if the psychic energies of the masses of people watching sports, what people watching sports or any other distracting events could be diverted into rational channels of a freedom movement, together we would be unstoppable. And so we've got to stop participating in the madness and watching sports, gladiator sports. That's what it is, gladiator sports, and any other distracting of events. We could divert that energy into channels of a freedom movement, and we together, we would be unstoppable.
That's a good point. I was thinking, as you were saying that, about, you know, ritual, how we have rituals that we do to promote things, big up things, and how the sports scenario is a form of ritual that is, as you would say, anti-us. We're putting our energy, creating rituals to booster, I would say, or feed someone else's agenda rather than our own.
Oh, great.
I think that is a good point.
Yeah, and I love how you mentioned rituals, because there's so many rituals that we need to come back to, and that would be to our greatest good. And one of them, that a brother was in a book about a brother years and years and years ago. But the brother made the statement that when African people practiced their culture and their spirituality, when they needed it to rain, most of the time it would rain. But when they abandoned their culture and their spirituality, if they needed it to rain, normally there's no rain, because they abandoned their cultural, spiritual rituals that allowed them to communicate and have get the cooperation of the universe, the ancestors and all, and it's still there waiting for us to come back and get it. And so there's so much more that, and I just wanted to touch on nursing homes. I recently visited a 98-year-old elder in a nursing home, quite a few times. And the 98-year-old told me that they smiled and was just telling me that they just know that they will live to be 100. But I'm looking at what's going on in the nursing home, you know, it was really a horror story. And I had to ask myself, if I were there, in that kind of insane environment and being given medicines that would make sure that by 5 o'clock in the evening that I'm ready to go get into bed, and at 5 o'clock in the evening and stay there until 9 o'clock the next morning or something like that. Would I be excited about 2 more years beyond 98 to continue that daily unnatural care, as well as including the diet and the medicines? And as our ancestor John Henry Clark talked about, in Africa, we didn't have any nursing homes because we didn't need it, because we took care of our people. And it's our responsibility to go back to where, along with us lifting us and the cooperative model, to where we are building institutions in every area that we need, including farmers market, black farmers market, and other things, but including health care, where we would be teaching about natural health. And a whole bunch of these people, including the one that I visited recently, if their diet was in order and if their mind was in order, they wouldn't have a need to be in there. And yes, sister.
One of the things, you know, like the nursing home, the scenario was deliberately done to isolate the various groups in the community. And I remember years back, I was watching a news program about this man who was taking care of his elderly mother. And he was taking care of her at home. And she injured herself or something. She fell, something. And the city charged him with neglect, elder neglect and elder abuse and all kinds of things like that. He wanted to put him in jail because his mother fell while he was watching, while she was under his care. And when I saw that, I realized that there was an agenda to get people to not let their seniors stay at home, because anything that happened, you could possibly wind up in jail, even though it's it's nothing that you did wrong. It's you were doing the best you could to help care for someone, and things, accidents happen or whatever. But anything that happened would be charged against you to get you to say, if they put you in jail, who's going to take care of the elder now? They automatically have to go, because they'll say there's no other family member or whatever. So it's an agenda to isolate to cause them to get to die, really, to isolate them, separate them from the people that love them and that they love, so that they will die.
Yeah, we've got to counter that madness, and we've got to realize, as we're listening to what you just expressed, what can we do about it? There's lots of things we can do about it. One of the things is that when we get greater, when we continue to evolve and get greater clarity, it involves every aspect of our life, all areas of people activity. And when it comes to the subject about the people falling, a major part of the prevention is to never stop moving, never stop exercising. And so Ida Keeling, IDAKEELING, was 107 years old before she made a transition not very long ago. But she was still able to tie her shoes, bend over and tie her shoes. She was still able to run at 107. She said in her 90s, "I intend to never stop moving." Was she worried about falling? I don't think so. And so there's exercises that, if we were in our Ulu marketplaces, we could be teaching our people right now, where it would be highly unlikely that you fail. And if you fail, the great chance that you would catch yourself. And also, along with boosting the nutrition, because when you exercise with load-bearing exercises, not only does it build muscle, but it builds bone strength. And there's nutrients in things like sesame seeds that's got calcium that helps the bone, and other things that help the calcium, and green leafy greens. And so we got to be raising up a community of folks that are not susceptible to falling in the first place. And everybody can fall. 5-year-olds fall. But what happens when you fall? When you catch yourself, and also you're not likely to break a bone. And so we've got to have an antidote of our own. And the antidote is to not be in a position where you're worried about falling because you have practice this thing of sitting, and there's a new disease that's on the rise now called sitting disease. It's unnatural. It ain't natural.
Mm-hmm.
We were never supposed to be sitting. An elephant never supposed to reach 50 years old and say, "Well, I'm going to just sit down and watch television and do nothing." It ain't. It's out of the natural order of things. And we got to get the foolishness out and get off the fence. We cannot tolerate this madness. We cannot tolerate continuing to support the madness, like the last poet said, including, as I mentioned earlier, all of these European holidays. There's no ethical justification at all for us to be participating in all of the money that we spend and all of the things that we're doing to make ourselves sick and make our babies sick with this food, and toxic food at that, all because some European taught you to celebrate this and celebrate that. It's madness, and we've got to put a stop to it.
Brother Thurman, before you go on, we have another caller that will take this next caller and then go forward. Caller with the last 4 digits, 3176. State your name, where you're calling from, make your comment, or ask your question. Thank you.
Greetings, Sister Q and Brother Thurman. This is Brother Ongti from Atlanta. I'm thoroughly enjoying the conversation tonight. And as you talk about these ways of strengthening our physical bodies. Can you say something about, I think where all this leads to is the deeper understanding that we have the divine within us that we are trying to let loose or put in mm-hmm. charge of ourselves rather than brainwashed minds that are being led astray by false media. So say a little bit about the spiritual dimension that is just waiting to be birthed as we improve our physicality.
Thank you for that, Brother Ante.
Yes, thank you so much, Brother. And that's a serious message that you're talking about, and we need to have you come and join us and have a conversation about that. But it's very, very serious because our people are being held hostage by well-dressed lies of fakery, including in various religions that would not pass the test of evidence. There's so many things that we need to know what is, get this concept of putting things to the test of evidence. And so just recently, Princeton University had a reconstructed 3D model of what Adam looked like. And, of course, it doesn't look like no African. But when we go back into the realities of things, you know, there was a word Adam, you know, before Adam, but there was never no white Adam that had any historical evidence. And when we delve into in that direction that you're talking about of spirituality, we got so many benefits. For one, we would always have an army of ancestors around us regardless of what we're doing and what we're dealing with. But it would also help us to know what's in the path road ahead before we get there. It will also help us to know what's coming behind us and warn us. And it's just like when we operating in that spiritual mode, as I mentioned earlier about the Africans that could get it to rain, versus African people mm-hmm. now, if you told them about getting it to rain, they would look at you and it's really not you, it's them that's confused. And there are Africans that have been in touch with the universe to the point that they can actually part rain. And I've known some that have done that. And we're missing out on how, when I mentioned nursing homes, energetic healing is part of our spiritual power that we have. So many things that could be healed, and I could go on and on, you know, including an elder that was walking around with his arm paralyzed and someone that had some concept and idea of the spiritual powers. They did some energy work on his arm, and he could open his fingers and bend his arm, but otherwise he would have been taken to a medical institution and at a minimum be given some dope, and on another level he would have had surgery in which neither one was needed. And so when we elevate in that spirit realm and get greater and greater clarity, there's so many things that we could get answers to. And so there are Africans that have written about the ability to go within and get answers to anything that you would find in a book. And this one African some years ago actually wrote, he said, "You need to read my book on the process that I just talked about." He said, "Well, once you read this, you won't need to read any more books." But all of that is in that spiritual realm that's waiting for us. And so we need to, we got to build some communities of sanity. It's made of people with a common agenda, cause, and interest who collaborate by sharing ideas, information, and resources. And sanity is to think and behave in a natural, inner sense guided manner. And when I say inner sense, that's part of that spirituality. Your inner sense guides you. And in the future, based on this European model, sanity may be an exception, meaning an abnormality, an oddity, a special case. But if we go forth properly and take responsibility in the future, sanity would not be an abnormality or an oddity, but it would just be the norm. But what we got to do first is get our people to realize that we got to stop indulging in insanity in order to get back to our right path and our spirituality. And so we've got to address all of the well-dressed lies, including Noah's Ark, And there's never been a Noah's Ark found except in the last 15 or 20 years in Tennessee, where they have constructed one and it's a museum. But you have, when it comes to where did that story of name come from, it came from two African boats that's in Africa. One of them is in Africa, Kemet, so-called Egypt, behind glass. And you can go there and look at it. You could touch it if the glass wasn't there. But it's called a New Ankh. And that's something that actually exists. And so we've got to take control of our future, and we've got to realize that Us Lifting Us has a powerful model in place. And imagine any big box store that you've ever been in. Imagine tomorrow you walk into something that size, 75,000 square feet or more, and when you walked in the door, the merchandise, the employees, and everything, it was all Us. And when you walked in the door, you were already a member owner of this entire complex, and you got say-so. So when you walked in there, if you saw something that you thought was out of order, it's yours included. And the employees that are working in there, sisters and brothers that are working there, who are also members, but they're member owner workers, who also are eligible for bonuses and dividends. And this is something that's part of our Us Lifting Us cooperative economics model, and all members have a vote. And why would we not want that? Why would we not tomorrow walk in a place like that, 75,000 square feet or bigger, that we own and control and we employ our people? We can do this. And so we got to do this. And so we got, and something that when we build them, they're duplicatable all over this land and beyond, all over this planet, for our people, employing our people. Us Lifting Us, and any of us that have not gone to the Us Lifting Us page, usliftingus.com, go and explore. This is something we got to go back to, this ancient economic model of cooperative economics. And Sister Q, Sister Queen Q, I just want to thank you and thank all of the callers. We've got to come back. And Brother Ankti, let's have you come and lead us on the essentials that we need clarity on in terms of the spirituality that's essential for our well-being. It always has been, and it will be, and it's waiting for us to come and get it and get rid of the well-dressed lies. And I want to read this last message, and then I'll stop. This is put together by one of our top poets in Banneker City, or D.C., as people call it, Laini Mataka. And it says, once upon a time, there was a great family. Enemies came and kidnapped half of the family and forced them to live in another place, in another world, in another reality. The separated ones were reconfigured until they almost didn't seem like part of the original family. Once some of the separated ones realized who they were, they encouraged their members to go back to their original identity. Meanwhile, the enemies went back to the originals and brainwashed them into letting go of their identity. So as the separated tried to imitate the originals took on the self-negating traits of the separated. The only saving grace is the fact that the ancestors of the entire family continue to whisper in the ears of those family members willing to do a 360-degree turn back to being themselves. This is a slow process, but it is a process, and slow is still movement. Long live Sankofa. I'm done.
Thank you for that, Brother Thurman. I want to thank everyone that joined us this evening, those that listened, those that participated in the conversation. We'd like to invite you to join us again next Thursday evening at 9 o'clock Eastern Time for another installment of Dare to Win. Peace.
Peace.